بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the merciful, the compassionate. All praises to Allah, the creator of the universes and their sustainer, the providers, believers and unbelievers. And may his choices blessings be on the seal of his prophets, the last of his messengers and his holy progenies. And in particular, may his incessant blessings ever continue to flow on the immanent successor to the holy prophet of Imam أبو محمد الحسن بن علي صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. Today, the chapter we discuss are the extraordinary events found in the life of the 11th Imam alayhi salam. We have had occasion to discuss such events that were seen in the lives of his father and forefathers. They are not missing in his life either. The period of his imama was admittedly very short, just 6 years. But even in those 6 years, there are numerous examples of most extraordinary nature, which when we examine, we feel could not have been carried out except through one vested with powers directly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not powers achievable by a human being by himself, because the fields in which those extraordinary events emerge are so wide and so multilateral that it is not possible for one human being to assemble them together in his one lifetime. And indeed, he became an imam when he was only 22 years of age. Well, I propose to step forward to you as much as we can, as far as we can go tonight, because we are starting late. But I hope I will continue a little tomorrow if need be, before we get into the political life of the Imam alayhi salam from tomorrow night. Although the role he played in paving the way for the 12th Imam alayhi salam will be my matter of emphasis tomorrow night, inshaAllah. Well, if the public requires that an imam should be a person who should be able to foretell, to prophesy what is going to happen in future, as his father and predecessors have done, then there is abundance of evidence of that nature in the life of the Imam alayhi salam also. I hope to cite an instance tonight, another instance tomorrow night, and perhaps another instance on Saturday night. And we get this from Ibn Ishaq. He says that he was in a state of terror because friends of the Imam alayhi salam were in that state during that period, particularly under Mu'attar and Mu'tamid. And so he wrote a letter to the Imam alayhi salam saying, I am in a state of terror, so what do you advise me to do? And the Imam alayhi salam wrote to him saying, it is not going to be long. I advise you stay in your house and do not come out at all. Can you imagine how serious it was for the companions of the Imam alayhi salam that even coming out of their house was a matter of danger for them? And the Imam alayhi salam, out of precaution, advises them not even to come out of the house. But he says, remain in the house, it will not be long. And remain in the house until a great event occurs. Soon, a great man, Bukhari, died. When Bukhari died, he immediately writes a letter to the Imam alayhi salam and says, is this the event you were talking about? And do you now feel that I am safe to come out? And the Imam alayhi salam promptly replies, saying, no, this was not the event. A greater event will soon occur. And after that, you will be safe. Namely, your greatest enemy and the enemy who is after you will then be gone. And few days after that, but 20 days from the time the Imam alayhi salam wrote the first letter, Mu'attar was killed and he died. And when that happened, he wrote another letter to the Imam alayhi salam, Ibn Ishaq, and Ibn Ishaq says, yes, you are now safe to come out. So you can see, he was able to make these predictions with clarity. Tomorrow night, inshallah, when we discuss the imprisonment, the prisons that he went to, we will discuss with what exactitude he was able to make these forecasts. But the next subject that I want to deal with is one of his generosity. Because that is what is generally expected of the Imam Zalayhi Musalam. Truly, we do expect that from them, because we do have our wishes that we expect them to grant. This evening, as I was coming in, I was asked by friends to pray for them this night. And indeed, I pray that all their wishes be accepted for the sake of Imam Afkari alayhi salam. Because he is so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a prayer through him is not likely not to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, if he prays, then that prayer is never rejected by Allah. Such is the proximity to which he reached. And as we saw, why should that not be so? Because even when he was in prison, his attention was exclusively to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we saw yesterday, fasting during the day and prayer all night, to the extent that the evil man stands to him, he can virtuous fire people. Now this is the result of association with Masumin alayhi salam. Association with the pure and pure. We do not have physical association with them, but we do not need physical association, because what we are talking of are spiritual matters. This preface I put of our wishes and how we ask for our wishes from him, and I shall elaborate a little further, I hope, this evening, if time is not permitted, in the earlier part of tomorrow evening. These are all spiritual matters. We communicate with them spiritually, because we do not physically live with them. But it is in this spiritual association with them we can also be purified, if we maintain that contact and communication with them on a close and regular basis. One of the people who had that contact was Abu Hashim. And Abu Hashim Ja'fariya, this is a name you have heard again and again in the last 2 days, because he was a close companion of Imam Hadi alayhi salam. And next, the close companion as a result of Imam Askari alayhi salam. When he says, I was in a state of misfortune, I had that together. I did not have the courage to tell the Imam alayhi salam that I had that. One day, he was going out. I had just arrived on my horse. And he said, well, why don't you follow me, Abu Hashim? And so I followed the Imam alayhi salam. And on the way, he said to me, Abu Hashim, you are in strange circumstances. And he says, yes, O grandson of the Prophet, I am in strange circumstances. It is just that I was too embarrassed to explain my situation to you. And the Imam alayhi salam says, pause, Abu Hashim, the reins were pulled, both horses were stopped. And Abu Hashim says, all he did was he picked up his whip, which he hardly used, and he drew a line on the sand. When he drew a line on the sand, he then made a small, shallow hole there. And when he did that, he removed his whip and said, Abu Hashim, go down and pick up what you find. Abu Hashim says, when I dismounted and went to that place where he had made a shallow hole, I found a golden coin there. I picked it up and I knew its value would not be less than 500 dinars. Such was the capacity of the Imam alayhi salam. Now we have seen this before with regard to Imam Bakr alayhi salam, with regard to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And I quote this instance to show that Imam Askari alayhi salam was indeed of the same competence and at the same level, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he appoints his representatives, he gives them the same knowledge and he gives them the same capacity. But Abu Hashim says, and this is, I think, what is most important from your angle, Abu Hashim then says that I mounted my horse and we were struggling once again, that the thought came to my mind that what a generous action by the Imam alayhi salam. I can now settle my debt. But then he said, apart from settling my debt, I have to prepare for the wings of others. And I wish the Imam alayhi salam had also given me something for the wings of others. But let me go home and make my calculations. How much debt do I owe? Maybe I can save something from this ingot. If not, Allah is great. And suddenly the Imam stops his horse again and says, Abu Hashim, what is going on in your mind? And Abu Hashim says, Mawla, you know better. I am so grateful that I cannot open my lips. And the Imam alayhi salam again takes his whip and again draws a line in the sand. And again makes the shallow hole and tells Abu Hashim, this now is for your winter preparations. Abu Hashim says, he dismounts again, picks up another ingot. Again, he says, that too would not be worth less than 500 dinars. You can see the generosity. But what is even more important to me, and you decide how you look at that hadith for yourself, what is more important is that the generosity reaches a level at which he does not even need to be asked. He volunteers the information. One embarrassed to ask, he told, I know you are in need and I'll supply. And he supplies enough to settle the debt, which was uppermost in the mind of Abu Hashim. And then, well, what is uppermost in the mind of Abu Hashim is the winter months, he supplies another ingot which satisfies the needs of winter. So I always say, and I say once again tonight, that even if we forget to ask him something, it really matters not, as I hope I will cite an instance, an actual practical instance in that regard too. So, near salam alayhi to the Imam alayhi salam, and today was his day, we have discussed this before, today I taught now Imam Hadi alayhi salam, today Thursday is the day of Imam Ashkari, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. All we need is to remember him and send salutation to him. And once we send salutation to him, he knows what we need. Likewise, we send salutation to the Prophet Imam Ajjalallah who shall come tomorrow. He too knows what we need, regardless of whether we have had the opportunity to put our needs to him expressly and in definite terms or not. Well, that is Abu Hashim, a close companion. But let us talk of someone who was not a close companion, Ali ibn Ibrahim. He says, actually it is his son Muhammad who reports, that they were in dire need, they were very strained financial circumstances. And the father and son meet, and the father Ali ibn Ibrahim says, I wish we could find a person who would lend me 500 dirhams. Then I should be able to sort out my financial problems. Then I would spend 200 dirhams in my flour. I would keep aside 100 dirhams for expenses, general expenses, and I would still have 200 dirhams for clothing. That would meet all the needs of the family. But who can I find? I'm not able to raise the funds by myself. Who can I find to help me? And then he dawns on him and says, oh son, I know Imam Hasan Ashkari salallahu alayhi is the person to approach. The son immediately asks, oh father, do you know him? He says, not personally. I've never met him. I've never attended on him. But I've known of him. So the son says, how do we approach him then? And the father says, I have heard that there is no generous person more generous than him. Again, those qualities we are talking about, that in every field he must be the top man in the world to be the Imam. Here is the evidence from ordinary people of life who say his reputation is, he is well known to be the most generous of men that lives. And so, let us try. And the son says, very well, they both mount their horses and move. And as they leave, Muhammad says, it dawned on me that I wish I could also ask for 300 dirhams only. My father can ask for 5. If I can ask only for 300 dirhams, I spend 100 dirhams then buying a donkey for myself. And 100 dirhams could go for expenses. I would still have 100 dirhams to buy clothes. And I would satisfy my needs as well. However, as they had these thoughts in their minds, they reached the house at the 11th Imam alayhi salam. When they reached the house, an attendant opened the door. You see, this is the important thing of the Imam alayhi salam. You don't even have to ring the bell. You don't even have to knock the door. The door is open where he knows that one of his sheikhs is there asking for help. The door opens and the attendant says, come in, O Amir Ibrahim and O Muhammad. And the father turns to the son and says, please I tell you, this is the house we are going to. There's no us, even if we don't know them. And this is the truth of the matter. The Imam alayhi salam knows all his shields, as we saw yesterday. And we will see today again. Yesterday we touched on it. Today we will see it in more detail. And I hope I come to that hadith tonight, because it is Laylatul Jum'ah, the barakah of the night, to discuss that hadith of Imam Askari alayhi salam. Allah might be pleased with us if we do so, inshaAllah. And that is the purpose of these gatherings, that we should earn the reward, the pleasure of Allah, the glorified and exalted. Because nothing pleases Allah more than discussions of His own ujjah. Because it is a discussion of the ujjah that will help us elevate our levels to come near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, as they enter the house, they are led to the Imam alayhi salam. And when they are led to the Imam alayhi salam, and the greeting, the first thing that the Imam alayhi salam asks Ali bin Ibrahim is, O Ali, where have you been? Why have you been keeping away from me all these days? Now that is the question we do not want the Imam to ask us. And I say that the easy solution to that is this ziyarah. And it is a very short ziyarah, I promise you. Won't take you more than 2 minutes. However busy you may be, and in a short while, you will know it by heart. And it will just be, and I gave you the page number, page 64 of that Faqih Jilan in English that I have done for you. Well, all the ziyarahs of the week are there. But for Imam Askari alayhi salam, it is a very short one on Thursday. But the first question he asked Ali bin Ibrahim is, Ali, where have you been? Why have you been keeping away from me all these days? And he immediately says, Sayyidi, I was not keeping away, but I have been engrossed in my problems of the world, and I have not been able to attend on you. And please forgive me for this. And suddenly he changes the subject, generous and of highest manners as he was, and they have a little conversation. And he greets Muhammad and they take his leave. Both of them, out of the courtesy and expositions of the Imam alayhi salam, did not have the courage, the tongue did not move to ask the Imam alayhi salam for money. And this is the important thing about our Imam alayhi salam. To us, money is important because we live in a worldly context. When we are in the association with them, money becomes totally unimportant. Starving during the day, fasting day by after day, and having starved with just little food every day becomes a matter that is acceptable to us, because we get, by a process of osmosis as it were, we get that spirituality inhaled into us. As you say in Bombay, there is so much pollution that all of us are coughing. All because of the environment. Likewise, in the environment, in the company of the Imam, the environment is such that we do breathe that spirituality and inculcate it in us. None of them thought of the money that they wanted. None of, because the discussions there were of a level at which those matters that were being discussed became of paramount importance. The money which took them there became of least significance. But does that matter? When the last victim made farewell to the Imam alayhi salam, and as they left, they came out of the room, there was the servant standing. He gives an envelope to Ali ibn Ibrahim and says, "This is from my master as a gift to you." There's an envelope. He proceeds to give the details. He says it contains 500 dirhams. My master says, spend 200 dirhams in buying flour, spend 100 dirhams on your expenses, and you can spend 200 dirhams in buying clothes. And even if I say, I was staggered, absolutely staggered. I just looked at the servant and accepted the envelope. And as the father moves out, and the servant now meets the son, says, my master, he has given you this envelope as a gift, O Muhammad, and it contains 300 dirhams. And my master says, spend 100 dirhams in buying a donkey, 100 for expenses, and 100 for buying clothes. And you can see, Muhammad was staggered as well. What a brilliant episode. What a brilliant experience to remain alive in their minds for their lifetime. But they can just remain alive in our minds for our lifetime when we only read with that issue. But it does not even end there. What I had forgotten to tell you was that when Muhammad said he will buy a donkey, he said it will then help me to go to Al-Jabal, an area, the mountain of Skyra that he wanted to go to in order to do business there and marry a lady, if he will be lucky. So the servant says, here are 300, spend it in the way I have already set out, and then says, but my master says, don't go to Jabal, because you will not succeed in Jabal, and business is not good there. Go to Suwar. In Suwar, the business is good, and your business will flourish. And he says, please convey my gratitude to you and my master, and goes out. Having made up his mind, he will not go to Jabal, because the person who was never told that he wanted 300. In fact, he had not even told his father that he wanted 300. This was just the thought that crossed his mind as they were going to the house of the Imam alayhi salam. Just the thought in his mind that if I too had a chance, I would ask for 300. Yet he gets his 300, and he's told to spend it exactly the way he wanted to spend. That budget is made out for him exactly in accordance with the blueprint he had prepared. How could he then disbelieve the last part that he must not go to Al-Jabal? He did not go to Al-Jabal. He went to Al-Suwar. And in Al-Suwar, he made a lot of money. In fact, at the time when his friend blessed him in Al-Suwar, he told him he already had 200,000 dirhams. This is a friend who had told him to go to Jabal. So when he told his friend that he was not going to Jabal and was going to Suwar, friend asked him why. So he tells this friend everything that happened. But has the friend happened to be a Shia of the Imam alayhi salam? But look at the state of the Shias at the time. He could not tell his friend that he was a Shia, lest he be reported. Can you imagine how fortunate we are that we are able to call ourselves Shia? I pray on this night of Abu Sulayl Abbas alayhi salam, on this Laylatul Jummah, that Allah should keep this community in that state of safety and security till the zuhur of the Imam alayhi salam. We need that security from the Imam alayhi salam in these difficult times. So he mentioned all this to this Shia person. After a while, this friend visits him in Al-Suwar at his invitation. He had already married in Suwar. He calls his friend to his house and says, look, I'm glad I did not follow your advice. And says, here, I've made this much money, I'm now prosperous. And the friend says, what are you talking about? Where is the comparison of me telling you where to go for business and the Imam alayhi salam telling you? But I trust, he does not disclose his identity. He says, I trust you now regard him as a true Imam and true representative of Allah on earth. And he says, no. So the friend says, what? Are you still a Waqifi? And he says, yes, I'm still a Waqifi. Can you imagine how unfortunate people can be? But after seeing all this, he still does not become a Shia, does not become a follower of the Imam alayhi salam. Just for the youth who were not present last year, a Waqifi is a person who believes that the Imama ended at Imam Musa ibn Ja'far, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. They believe in seven Imams only, and say that the seventh Imam alayhi salam went to Raida, and the man he really is the seventh Imam alayhi salam. We discussed this when we discussed the Imam of the eighth Imam alayhi salam last year. So, in fact, he lived a Waqifi and died a Waqifi. The point I wanted to make was, can you imagine how unfortunate he is that having seen all this, he still remains a Waqifi? Hence, it is of great importance that we bear in mind that we do not turn away. We must understand how fortunate we are that we are in the faith of the 12 Imams alayhi salam. It is not easy, it is not fortunate. It is not easy, it is not everybody who is so fortunate to be in that category. Hence, of great importance that we treasure this Imam. We treasure this faith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. May Allah bless our forefathers, that maybe we are Islamists because they were Islamists. And may Allah forgive them their sins. But now we have to keep that road firm in our hands. To the last day. I say this not to waste your time. I say this only because the times are difficult. The times are hard, and our religion is being criticized and belittled by our own people. This is what amazes me. Our own people, and you see it happening in Mumbai as well, our own people belittle us on little things. Those are not the important things. The important thing is the basic faith. The belief in the 12 Imams alayhi wasalam, knowing each of them as Hujjatullah and learning the law from them, obeying Allah through their teachings so that we get nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is enhanced our dua. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Muqallib al-Qulub, Sabbit qalbi ala dinik, make me firm, make me steadfast on your religion. That is a dua. It needn't be in Arabic, it can be said in English. That is a dua that is very important. Because where there is faith, there is success. There is ultimately success. And it is not only those who have seen. How many Hindu ladies will you see tonight? And on Saturday night, putting their coconuts on the alam of Qur'an. I know a number of them myself. I'm sure you know a number of them too. Who perhaps did not get children and got children only because they kept the nazar of Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam and are still Hindus till today. So faith is a great treasure. Can I take a few seconds of your time only to remind you of that hadith I narrated to you of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Abu Bashir goes to him in a very lamentable position, very despondent. And the Imam alayhi salam says, Abu Bashir, why are you in this state? And Abu Bashir says, tell you this, my poverty, my fakr is the word he means. It means poverty. My poverty has reduced me to this state. And the Imam alayhi salam says, Abu Bashir, stop lying. Stop lying. And Abu Bashir gets terrified. The Imam calls him a liar. He says, tell you this, dare I lie in your presence? Because there is no secret, you don't know. You know all the secrets of all these creatures on earth. How can I lie in your presence? So the Imam alayhi salam turns around and says, oh Abu Bashir, how can you say you are poor when in your heart is the love of Allah alayhi salam? She remembered that at least we discussed the other evening. I didn't mind taking a few seconds of your time to tell you that. But that hadith that I wanted to rush and tell you tonight before tomorrow night, and I'll continue with this tomorrow night, but this particular hadith, it is a hadith of Ibrahim bin Sharif. He did this, the Imam alayhi salam, from Jirjan. And he was going to Hajj. So on the way, he visits the Imam alayhi salam. When he visits the Imam alayhi salam, he had money. He had been given by Mu'mineen, khums money, sadaqah money, which was to go to the Imam alayhi salam. Everybody who had money said we are going, a reliable, trustworthy person. So everybody gave him the money, he took the money, and when he reaches the Imam alayhi salam, that is the first thing he does, he hands over the money. And the Imam alayhi salam sits and converses with him, asks him how Mu'mineen are, and he says, they are all very well, but oh my master, they all stand regards to you, each one who gave me money, each one of them said, please deliver my salam to my Imam, tell him we long to meet you. Tell him we long to meet him. Tonight I would like to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, we are all sitting here, we all long to meet Al-Aqsari alayhi salam. We all long to go to the very of Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam. Make it possible that we go to Iraq, to those Zareen, and do all the ziyarat in Karbala, and in Samra, and in Qadrain, and Najaf, as soon as you deem possible, inshaAllah wa ta'ala. Well, nothing like those ziyarat, as we discussed, nothing like going to Mashhad last year. However, they say, and look at this, he says, each one of them says that they long to meet you. So why don't you pay us a visit and look at the answer the Imam gave. He says, Ibrahim, but you are going to Hajj. And Ibrahim says, yes. When I return, my master, come over there and visit the Mu'mineen there. And the Imam alayhi salam says, yes, inshallah I shall do so. Ibrahim, you will go to Hajj, you will perform your Hajj successfully, and you will go back. And you will take in all, doing all this, 170 days. Can you see the precision with which the Imam is talking about the future? And says, you will be in your home on Friday, the 3rd of Rabi'ul Thani, choosing the exact day. And you will reach home in the early part of the morning. So I will leave you to have a little rest and meet the Mu'mineen at Juma prayers and tell them that that very evening we are reaching there on Friday morning, Friday afternoon, inshallah, I will come to Jirjan and meet all these Mu'mineen who have sent me money, and I will meet all the Mu'mineen who want to meet me, whatever their wishes will be. Well, this is how quickly the Imam alayhi salam responded to a sincere call from his shaykh. Ibrahim smiled. When he smiles, the Imam alayhi salam says, you are pleased, Ibrahim, and he says, Mullah, I'm so pleased that you will come and I will be able to be your host. What greater honor can I have? And then the Imam says, but be more pleased about other things also. Your son, Saul, has had a child. So he says, yes, I didn't know that his wife had already given birth. And the Imam says, yes, she has already given birth, and the child has been named Saul. So he's Saul bin Sharif bin Ibrahim bin Sharif, given the full name. And he turns around to the Imam and says, pray that he becomes one of your shears. And as I said yesterday, the Imam alayhi salam has the fullness of his shears. He immediately says, yes indeed, he will grow up to be a learned shear. He will grow up to be a learned alim. He will become a shear and he will be a close friend of Ahlul Bayt. What a great honor. Then Ibrahim goes further and says, Sayyidi, there is a fellow with us, Ibrahim bin Ishaq. He is a very good man. We see him as a very good man. And every year he spends a lot of money on your friends, on the shares of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. Maybe he spends about 100,000 dirhams every year on such friends. I hope you have mercy for him? And the Imam says, yes, Allah will be merciful to him. He will forgive him his sins for this particular action of helping his co-sharer. You can see how vital it is to help each other in these times. The Imam says, for that act of helping his co-sharer, Allah will forgive him his sins and will indeed give him a place in Jannah. Not only that, in this world too. In this world too, he will give him good wealth all the time to his last day, and will favor him with a son who will grow up to be a great alim. Tell Ibrahim that when he gets the son, he should name him Ahmad. He will give a name for the son. And that goes, and Ibrahim says, true to the word, I reached home on the 3rd of Rabiul Thani on a Friday morning, and true to his word, after Friday prayers, there he was in the afternoon. He came to us, he said, I said my prayers in Samarra, Zuhr and Asr, and I'm here to meet you as I promised. And indeed, the first person who met him was the man goes to the Imam alayhi salam with his little child, saying, my little child is born blind. Doctors will tell you, it may be possible to treat somebody who becomes blind in his lifetime. It is very hard to give sight to a person who is born blind. The Imam alayhi salam says, don't worry, the man caresses his hand on the eyes of the child. The child opens the eyes and starts talking to his father. The father says, greet your master who gave you the eyes. And he turns around and says, As-salamu alayka ya Mawla. Then followed a number of questions. And the Imam alayhi salam sat and answered all those questions to teach fiqh to his children. And steal the money as and when money was required for filling the wishes of all his children. That is just one example of how the Imam alayhi salam carried out multifarious duties in his lifetime, as the Imam alayhi salam at every stage proving the total worth of his imamah and his complete entitlement to that credential. Well, one such person who valued an imam and came to know him intimately was Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam, because he had the good fortune of being born of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So he lived with Imam Ali alayhi salam until the martyrdom of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Then he lived with Imam Hassan alayhi salam and learned about the qualities of an imam and the value of imamah from Imam Hassan alayhi salam. And after Imam Hassan alayhi salam, he became the right hand man of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But who did not, after serving three imams in that way. So he knew exactly what is the value of an imam. He knew, and that is why in your ziyarah you always say this, and you just say this, that you are true and you stand loyal to your imam to the last, because that is what you knew to be not only his duty, but that is what he knew to be the way to reach nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But look at this today. When Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam served the Imam so loyally, so closely, so faithfully, never disobeying him in the smallest of manners, fulfilling his wishes before the wishes were even put forward to him. Remember that incident on which I did not take the time, when the Imam alayhi salam asked for water and only said he is thirsty, and before anybody could do anything, there was a Abbas alayhi salam running and getting a glass of water for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It is said in all reports that from the moment the Imam alayhi salam left Medina for Karbala, Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam was always at his side, always lest anybody should harm the Imam alayhi salam, always there to protect him, to defend him, and if harm was to come, to take the harm himself and spare his master. But so glorious were his actions that even today we know him as Babul Quraysh. What a great honor Allah has given him. Babul Quraysh, means gateway to the fulfillment of wishes. Allah says, you ask your wishes to me, of course. Allah is the one who grants your wishes. But he says, come to me through Abbas. If you use the gate of Abbas to me, I am sure to grant your wishes. Cannot get greater honor than that. And that also was at least the position of Hazrat Abbas al-Islam in Karbala. Water was the main question from today. From the day of the seventh, water was now closed altogether. Hazrat Abbas al-Islam, from the dawn of Ashura, kept saying to the Imam al-Islam, grant me leave, O my master. I will go now to the battlefield. Fight these 30,000 people out, massacre them all, and we can go back to Medina in peace. And the Imam alayhi salam would say, no, Abbas, you will not go to fight. You are my commander. How can I let the commander go to fight first? What will happen to the army? We, you and I, Abbas, will fight together. And the time comes when everybody has been martyred. Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam now comes to the Imam alayhi salam and says, Mawla, now there is no army left. You will have me strong. Excuse me. And indeed, I am now most anxious that I too should go and give my life. Allow me to go and fight these enemies so that I too come into the category of the martyrs. The Imam alayhi salam looks at Abbas alayhi salam, the first one to give him leave, and as you can, and as you know, soon comes the Nisa Shida alayhi salam with her mushk, with her water skin bag, and says to Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam, oh my uncle, I am so thirsty, so thirsty. Can you give me get me some water from Quran? Of course, Abu Fadl could get her water, but this is not what he wanted to do at that time. Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam looked at the Imam alayhi salam looked at Hazrat Abbas. They look at each other. The Imam alayhi salam knows how the wishes of Hazrat Abbas are being frustrated. Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam says, I didn't want to go and get this water. I wanted to go and battle it out with them. And yet, here is a request from that beloved daughter who meant so much to Hazrat Abbas. And so, and Hazrat Abbas leaves all his wishes. I say, this is the greatest bravery of Abbas. He's been able to fight all those people. He's been so brave. It's a lesser bravery. The greater bravery is that he should give up all his wishes. All his wishes being frustrated. Just Sakina and said, yes, Sakina, I will give up everything. I will take your mask and I will go and get water for you. Do just one thing for me. This is what Abbas needed most dearly. Say, O Sakina, pray to Allah that I should be able to bring water for you. This is all that is now dear to me. And thanks the mush and those. What wonder that today we know him as Sakai Sakina. He not managed to bring water, but he's such intentions, he's such will-led glory. Earn him the title of Sakai Sakina. That is the one who quenched the thirst of Sakina. And indeed, that is what happened. He got into Quran. He filled that particular mosque. He turned around to the people of Yazid and said, you thought you could stop us from water. Here is water in my mosque. You could never have stopped us from water. But he turned around to himself and said, you don't drink. And indeed, Quran will give evidence. Abbas did not drink even one drop of water. To him, that one drop was haram until Sakina had. This is the bravery, the loyalty of Abbas, for which we remember him till today, and we owe salam to him. As-salamu alayka ya Abba, ya Abu Sabil Abbas, on this evening, indeed, when he comes out, Allah, one person, not stop his right father, but to get the bravery of Abbas. He immediately moves everything to his other arm, to his left arm, everything, the alam, his spear,
and the mush, but then the other arm goes, now he's getting disappointed. But again, look at the value of that mush drop out. Nothing was valuable. Everything is now falling off because the other arm is gone. He immediately clings to that mush with his teeth, he's only his mush. Saying, oh Lord, keep me dying to reach this water to Sakina, then you can taste my life. And even that wish was not fulfilled because an arrow comes. An arrow aimed not at a bar this time, aimed only at the mush. And the mush is pierced. When the mush is pierced, water drops. And as water drops, a bar does not have the will to live. Another attack on his head. A bat is now on the ground. When a bat is on the ground, he calls for his master. As-salamu alaykum. Ya Aba Abdullah. Ilham. He hears the voice. And the moment he hears the voice, he holds his weight and says, Ya Abbas. Al-An. In Qatar-e Bahri. My back is now broken. To hear you call me, you have broken my back now. يا عباس أنا من كثرة زهري وقلة حيلتي and all my hopes are also shattered when you have gone and all that is thrown at all that Sakina asked me. Please, Father, attend to Abbas and bring the water to us. The Imam goes, but what does Bibi Sakina alayhi salam do? Yes, the little children is saying, my uncle is gone. He will not come without water. Pray to Allah, when water comes, I will not drink the water first. I'll give you the water when you all will have had water. Then I will drink water. We said to Sakina, where is the water, our lady? Where is the water? And indeed, when Imam Hussain goes there, this is the wasiya of Abu al-Fadl, O my master, don't put my body to me to the tent. You have always done so with great trouble. Now you are alone, but don't take my body, because if you do, watch his face, even my dead body will show to Sakina. One little wish of our full water, I have not mistaken. لا نعلم الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إلى الله نحن الله لك الحمد